2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and we'll read down to verse 18. And y'all look so tired tonight, I'm just going to let you sit there. How's that? Y'all just listen. Can you do that? Just listen. Read along if you'd like, if you got your scripture there. But y'all just listen as we read God's Word. We don't read with any less reverence, but the scripture does not directly command us to stand. It is just something I like to do. We're going to skip that tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, and this treasure he's talking about, just so you can follow along, is the treasure of the light of Jesus Christ, our light of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I ask that you would help us to see in your scripture the immortal, the eternal truths of you, that we would not be so focused on the sort of the temporal things of this world, yet in our attempt to see the glory of God through your Son, Jesus Christ, help us not to overlook the temporal. Help us to see the physical. Help us to appreciate the everydayness. Help us to do that, Lord, and help us to do that through your scripture. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I complain a lot. I don't know if you can tell that in the way that I preach, but I'm just a moaner and a groaner and a complainer. Nothing suits me, nothing sits right with me. I was talking the other day with my dad, as a matter of fact, and now I complain a little more with him than I might with most people, but I complained with him about this, that, and the other thing, and he looked at me and he said, Matthew, you've got the world by the tail, is what he said. You've got the world by the tail. He said, everything is going just fine. He said, what's wrong with you? Why are you always complaining about stuff? And I don't have an answer for why I always complain about stuff, but when I do complain about stuff, it does drive me to passages like this one, which remind me there's something bigger and greater to come, and I always want to be focused on, I'm focused on this world around me, and I want to look ahead, there's something else bigger than this. But one of the things that struck me as I was reading through this passage, knowing that I had to preach on something like this, or if I didn't, I would just be complaining about stuff, is, yes, there's something bigger and greater to come, and you see this at the end where he talks about there's this eternal weight of glory. But there's also, how can I put it? He, there's something bigger and greater to come, but he's got us here now. And he uses my flesh, my weakness, and he uses what I've got here, which again, I complain about, I'm sure you complain about what you've got, at least a little bit, maybe not as much as I do, but you complain a little bit, but he uses what you've got here. Let me put it to you this way. I think this is just, let's dive right into what the scripture says here in verse 6. He says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Stop right there. Where does the light, where does God's light shine out of? Darkness. It's when things are at their worst, when things are at their darkest, that God is at His brightest, at His best. You can think through several illustrations of this. Remember at the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, where was the world? Remember how the earth was? It was without form or void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what happened? The Spirit of God moves upon that. And then what does God do? Let there be light. And there was light. Do you remember this? You remember this from Sunday school, I hope. This is what God does. There's nothing. It's zero. Nothing. It's the absence of existence. And God says, I think I'll create something. And boom, there's light. Remember the children of Israel? They're in slavery in Egypt. Remember this? They're in slavery. And then what happens? A little bit. While they're killing babies left and right. And God finds a way to save one little boy named Moses, raise him up. And what does Moses do? He does something crazy. He runs in there into Pharaoh's court and brings a stick and throws it at him and turns it into a snake. The people they leave in a flash. Remember all those plagues, and then they go across that Red Sea. I mean, I could imagine if I'm in that group of people. I've been raised from a young boy up to adulthood, and I've been a slave all that time. And woo, I get to leave. I'm running out of here because this is how God does in the dark times. When it's worse is when He brings the brightness. Children of Israel, later on, a couple hundred years later, they're in captivity in Babylon. I can't remember which prophet it is, but it talks about how they're so sad, and they've hung their harps up. They're crying. They can't even sing songs. They're so sad. But if you look at your scripture, you take your Bible, and you kind of take just sort of that big chunk right there, give or take. Do you know where all that came from? From prophets that God spoke to during that period. So God's Word, where we hear the most from God, I'm not saying all of it's the clearest stuff. Some of it's kind of thick and deep. I understand that. But it's God's Word. We get this Word at that moment when these people are at the low point. And in the middle of this darkness, there comes along God's Word. First century. Right there, it was, well, they didn't realize it was the first century. Y'all know that, right? But it was right there, cusp of the first century. Israel, which knew it had this glorious future to look forward to because it had been prophesied. But they're sitting there and they're saying, hang on a minute. We're in captivity to the Roman Empire. It doesn't get any worse than this. It's terrible. We've not heard a word from God for 400 years. And what happens? In that darkness, God brings forth Jesus. That's bright light in the middle of darkness, is it not? And I realize we don't celebrate Christmas on the right day, and I don't want to get in that debate because I'd lose. But I'm trying to get, what I want you to see though is, I don't think it's a mistake that we're celebrating Christmas. Y'all do realize it's like the shortest days of the year right now. It gets darker sooner and starts getting lighter later than any other time of the year. Again, I know that's not exactly when Jesus was born. I understand that. But I also think that if God wanted us to celebrate Christmas in July, He would have figured out a way to make that happen. I understand I'm not talking Bible here, I'm talking Matthew's opinion. But please understand me, I think it's not a mistake that we're celebrating Christmas during what would ultimately be the darkest time of the year. Because what we're doing is we're realizing that in this darkness, there's a bright light that comes into this darkness, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's what God does. I keep making noises with that thing. I don't know. Y'all hearing that? Because I keep hearing it. I'll just take it off. I can holler loud enough for y'all. But point is that in the dark times is when God brings His light through. And here's what I want you to see with this light. Let's don't get too spiritual about it. Let's just think about light, what it is. Just get all that spiritual stuff, because I know how spiritual y'all are. Get it all out of your head. Just think normal stuff here. What does light do? Does it light solve a problem? Not really. I mean, it solves a problem in that if you can't see, it allows you to see. But generally, if this room is messed up, the light is not going to fix the room, is it? What is it going to do? You know what light does? It doesn't solve problems necessarily. Again, it can, but that's not the point. Light overwhelms its circumstances. Light comes into darkness and it says, "Darkness, get out of here." Because when you turn on a light, what happens to the darkness? It's gone. Now, it may shed light on something you don't want to see. It may shed, there may be all kinds of things like that, I understand. But the point of light is that it overwhelms its circumstances. It overwhelms where it is. And that's the way God works. God doesn't necessarily come in and He fixes everything. Again, we understand that He can and He does. He transforms people. But God's light in the darkness, the point is that He overwhelms the circumstances. Regardless of what you're sitting in the middle of, how bad it sounds and feels and all that, He comes in and He says, "I'm bigger than this. I'm bigger than this. I'm brighter than this." And He comes in, as He says in verse 6, "God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So here He is in this dark time, and He's shining the light. Now look at verse 7. He says, now this treasure, and this is a treasure, the fact that, hey, I just gave you, what is it, four or five different examples of how God shines light into dark times. Those are just four or five examples. You probably could, if you're a Bible scholar at all, reading the Bible at all, you know of several other examples. And that doesn't even count the examples of your own life that God has shown into your dark circumstances, His light. So this treasure of God speaking His light into our circumstances, that treasure, He says in verse 7, is in earthen vessels. This light that is overwhelming light, this light that overwhelms circumstances, this light, actually heard a preacher talk about this the other day. It was today, in fact. I was listening to it. And he was talking about the fact that Paul talks about, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the words that God is the God who said, "Let there be light." And that same God has now given us His word in us, that we could speak His words. We could read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall be saved, not perish." We could say these words, and God can use those to transform people. This overwhelming truth that is invested in us. We have this. But it's all in earthen vessels. It's overwhelming. It's life-changing. It's world-transforming, world-creating power. It is invested in earthen vessels. And in fact, it goes further to say, the reason it's done this way is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. In other words, God doesn't want people saying, "Ooh, look at those lamps." He wants them to say, "Ooh, look at the light coming out of the lamps." So He's saying, "I'm going to take my overwhelming light, I'm going to put it into this flesh, these earthen vessels." And He's making, I think there's, I don't want to say He's making this reference, but there is a reference that you could get from this to, you remember Gideon? Remember the judge, Gideon, who got 300 men? And what did they do? Do you all remember the story? I don't know if I'm maybe telling you something the first time. But you got these clay pots, and they put fire in the clay pots. They had these torches, basically. And they surrounded the enemy camp. And what did they do? They broke those pots, blew the trumpets, put those torches up so people could see them. And those guys in that enemy camp, they started killing each other because they didn't know where it was coming from. The point is, what does Gideon do and his army do in order to show forth the light? They break the pots. They break the earthen vessels. And sometimes God will need to break this a little bit in order for His light to show out. He does. I mean, the good news of it is, or the glory of it is, that He does invest, or He does hide, if you want to call it that, His divine nature inside of us. That's why it's not wrong. It's very right to say, I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me. I have Christ in me. I'm using phrases from Scripture. This is not some sort of hocus pocus, oogie boogie stuff. I mean, this is exactly what the Bible says I have in me. God is taking His very nature and investing it in me. But for that to show out, sometimes this earthen vessel has to be made a little bit less than it wants to be. A little bit broken, a little bit shattered, a little bit just torqued a little bit. So that it's not about the vessel, it's about the light that comes out of the vessel. Again, those clay pots, I'm sure that some potter that Gideon probably met and paid a few dollars to, I'm sure that potter worked hard on those vessels. They were nice vessels. But the only reason he wanted them was he was going to crack them on the ground so they could see the light. And that's the same thing with God. What He does is He takes this light that He's invested in us, He hides it in common everyday places, because we're common everyday people. God doesn't just use, He does use some great men of God, but He doesn't just use those people. He uses everyday people, people who may not fit that mold of great men of God. He does use those as well. Now, as I mentioned, showing and allowing us to see that light, it may break us. And look here at what He says in verse 8. It's going to break us, but here's what He says. He says we're going to be troubled on every side. I'm skipping some phrases, so if you read along with me, you'll see I'm skipping. But He says we're going to be troubled on every side. We're going to be perplexed. We're going to be persecuted. And we're going to be cast down. It's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to hurt for us to show forth the light of God. But here's what He also says, the pieces I skipped, go back. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We are never, as Christians, those who have the light of God invested in them, those that have God hidden in them, if you want to use that term, those people, yeah, He's going to squeeze us. He's going to break us. He's going to mold us. He's going to shift us. It's going to hurt a little bit. But He's never going to be finished. He's never going to destroy us. God is not going to take us like we might take a piece of paper and ball it up and throw it away and say, I'm done with that. No, we're not with Christians. Now, He may shape us, and it's going to hurt to get us that way. Like Sister Gail's going to be going in for surgery, and I know it will cause her pain to go through this. But what is it doing? It's doing it to improve her, to help her, right? That's exactly what God is doing to us. He's shaping us and He's molding us. It's going to hurt, but He's doing it not because He's finished with us, never because He's finished with us, but because He is actually using us to do something. He's using us to show forth His marvelous light. And He even goes further. If you keep reading there, after verse 10, or into verse 10, He says, you know, basically we're down, but we're never out. And then verse 10, why? Because we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I'll put it to you this way. We're down, but we're not out, because the worst that can happen to us, I say this evangelistically speaking, because I don't really want this to happen to me, but I'm just telling you the Bible is true when it says this, that the worst that can happen to me is I would die. Because the minute I die, I get to go to heaven. Amen. I get to be with my Savior. I have eternal life because I have in my body not just the bright light of Jesus, I literally am bearing in my body, what does He say there? The dying of my Lord Jesus. I'm identifying, I have an identification with His death and suffering, so that worst case scenario, I'm dead. Worst case scenario, I'm dead, and I wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can take away my stuff, you can take away my physical life, but you can't take away from me the life that God has invested in me. that light that he's shown through the darkness, he has shown that through to me. You cannot take that away. Now here's the verse that I like probably the best in this whole passage. I want you to see this is in verse 15. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Do you understand? And I don't understand it, but I know the words and the fact. I don't understand it. But God is glorified through you. I'm not talking about that he is glorified because you sing songs that he likes. I'm talking about literally through you. You, your person. Because you have his light in you, because you are bearing about the body of the Lord Jesus, the death and dying of the Lord Jesus, because this his light that shone through the darkness has put in this earthen vessel, because of all of these things, he is glorified through you. He says there in verse 15 that these things are for your sake because of all this stuff that happens, it will redound to the glory of God. Because of what happens here, because of this investment of God in you, you bring glory to God. Which explains why in the next verse he says, verse 16, "For which cause, because we give God glory, this is why we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This explains why you can have a strength, sometimes a physical strength, sometimes an emotional strength, sometimes a spiritual strength, when circumstances dictate you should not. This explains why, and I don't mean to talk about someone who's not here, but it explains why Gail, who has literally gone through a very... the kind of surgery she endured is something, frankly, I don't know that I could handle. She went through it, she dealt with it, and dealt with it as good as I've seen anybody ever deal with something like that. And actually, and not doing it with any self-righteousness, not doing it with a smirk, not doing it with anything but sincere, genuine emotion, she writes on a note to this church, "God is good." How do you do that? And I mean sincerely mean it, like I think she did. How do you do that? You do it because God is glorified in our sister Gail, and he gives her a strength that doesn't make sense from a human perspective. From a human perspective, she should just be saying, whatever. I'm done. I give up. I don't care about any of this stuff anymore. I don't need that stuff anymore. It ain't helped me this far. Forget it now. But what happens? God is glorified in her, and he gives her strength. He gives her a push that doesn't make sense from a human perspective. And so while her outward person, as we see here in verse 16, is perishing, while her outside is weak, and while it is frail, that inward man is being renewed day by day. Every day, day by day, we are renewed, regardless of how good, how bad, how light, how dark, how happy, how sad, how spiritual, how cold we are. This is one of the things that is interesting to me, is I go through periods, some long, some short, but I always go through periods where I'm spiritually at a lull, where I'm not thinking the way I want to think. I'm not praying the way I want to pray. I'm not reading the Bible in the light that I'd like to read the Bible. I don't have or feel as if I have a walk with God that I'd like to have. There are periods in my life that happens. But for whatever reason, my inward man is renewed day by day. I'm always constantly brought back. Even though I'm far away over here, I'm stepping this way, God is within me. Because he gets glory in me, he's saying, "Come on back this way, Matthew. Come on back this way." Sometimes he pushes me harder than others, but sometimes I won't listen as much as I should. But he always pulls me back. He always renews me. He always freshens me. From an outside perspective, if it were from a human point of view, you would simply say, "Well, Matthew's just going to go off the deep end. He's unforgot God. He's just going to leave it alone." But God gets glory in me because of what he's invested in me. And he says, regardless of what's going on the outside, from an outside perspective, you're going to perish. But that inward man is renewed every day, and I'm going to renew him every day. Now I want you to look at verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are not seen, are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I'll simply close with this and say, our circumstances are exactly that. It's simply that particular moment in time, the surroundings that you're in. That's all that your circumstances are. Now, that doesn't mean that those circumstances don't hurt, because your circumstances might be in a briar patch. And that means those briars are going to hurt you. Now, I can say that that's just simply the circumstances you find yourself in, and you can say, "Well, thank you, but my legs are getting scratched right now." And I understand that. But the point is that circumstances are nothing more than your surroundings. Even though that you may be in that briar patch, you are not defined as a man who stands in briar patches. You understand? You are in one. That's not who you are. That's not what you're defined as. As a Christian, what defines me, what defines the world around me, what defines the way I view things, what defines my purpose in being is not the circumstances I find myself. That I happen to be, I'm just describing my own circumstances right now. My wife is sick. Which, by the way, at my house, when my wife is sick, nothing goes right. I mean, nothing goes right. Because nobody does anything in my house except for my wife. So when she's gone, and when she's out, it's all out. Everything's out of whack. So my wife is sick. My job won't leave me alone. I can't get ahead to save my life. I'm trying to be a decent preacher, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no clue what I'm doing. I got a little boy at home that I love to death, but he's mean as a striped snake. Last night, he stuck a little doll shoe on his own. Took that shoe, pushed it up his nose. Crazy little youngin'. Now, we got it out, but my goodness, what are you doing? What is he thinking? My other circumstances, it's dark outside. I don't like it dark outside. I want it light outside. I usually like it when it's colder, but for whatever reason, this year when it's got this cold snap, I can't get warm to save my life. I don't know what's wrong with me. I already told you, I complain all the time. I've got plenty to complain about. I got all kinds of stuff. Those are that's my circumstances right now. And I could go on. You don't want to hear it, but I could go on. Those are my circumstances. But that's not who I am. Who am I? I am one who is part of the bride or the church of Jesus Christ. I am one who Christ died for. I am one who God has invested His light in. I am one that... And the other thing is, God's not surprised that Matthew, in those circumstances, is the one that He's talking about. He knew exactly what He was getting. He put His glory into this earthen vessel. He said, "I'm going to invest my glory into Matthew." Yeah, I know he's going to complain about it the whole time, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because he's not going to be defined by his circumstances. He is now going to be defined not by the world, the temporal things of this world, but by the eternal things. We're going to start looking around as if we are in Christ and we see those eternal things. We're going to see all humanity as having value. I'm going to be able to look, whether they're a Christian or an unbeliever, I'm going to be able to look and I'm going to see there's somebody Christ died for. I'm going to see somebody that I may love them or I may hate them, but I'm going to see there's somebody that Christ died for. There's somebody that's worth me going out of my way and trying to do something and help them in some way. Whether it's sharing the gospel with them, or if it's just saying a kind word to them, or if it's providing some physical need. I'm going to see that. I'm going to see that everything around me can be improved by Jesus Christ. We sung the song, "Joy to the World," which I was telling Charles, that's not really a Christmas song. That's more of a second coming song. Because that's the way the world's going to be when Christ comes again. The whole world's going to be renewed by Jesus Christ. And I know that even though that's what it's going to be like, He can also do some stuff right now through me. And I'm going to see that I can have an improvement on my surroundings. I'm also going to see that every circumstance that's around me is going to be for God's purpose. I heard the other day somebody say this statement that really is true. It kind of hurt my feelings, but it's true. that if I believe that my God is truly in control, that anything different than my current circumstances, no matter how good or how bad they are, would be way worse. In other words, even if I am on death's door, even if I could tell you, man, the creditors are coming to get me now, they're going to take me to jail now. If my God is truly in control, if He's really the one that's in control, then wherever I happen to be, that's exactly where He wants me. And if anything were different, it would be worse than that. It would be even worse. So what I've got right now, no matter how bad it is, it's exactly what my God wants because He's the one in control. And then lastly, everything, if we are Christians and we are defined by Christ, we are going to see the world in eternal terms. And that means that everything will be seen as sacred. That means there is no church time and every other time. It means everything. We sit down and eat a meal together, we do it to the glory of God. We go to work, we do it to the glory of God. We clean up our houses to the glory of God. We go through sickness to the glory of God. We sit in a church on a Wednesday night on this side of the church to the glory of God. And on Sunday morning we're going to sit on that side of the church to the glory of God. We're going to do everything we do. We're going to laugh to the glory of God. We're going to cry to the glory of God. Because at the end of the day we know that these things happen to us because there's eternal weight of glory. There's something bigger at stake here, and God works in the here and now to help us see it and help the world around us see it, even if that means He has to break us a little bit to do it. That's what He's doing. That's what God is doing to us right now. I'll close with this and say, that encouraged me to prepare for it. I hope it encouraged you. If I depressed you, I'm so sorry. But I'm trying to encourage you. It encouraged me, so I hope it helped you as well. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed for the evening.